Chapter 1. The Discovery of the Clouds. In October 2019, a momentous event took place. But as sometimes happens in these cases, no one noticed at the time. This event could have consequences for humankind's view of its place in the universe, for what remains of human civilization. It could entirely change the job description of planet Earth. It means that the Earth-Moon system is significantly different than we thought it was, and it may well change everything. So why did nobody draw the obvious conclusions? People did eventually notice the discovery, for the findings came to be widely reported as a news item, as may be seen from Googling the subject. And there appears to have been an unchallenged acceptance of the existence of what was reported. But still, there is a lack of any grasp of what it means. No one seems particularly concerned about it. It has been one of those news items that is exciting for a day and then forgotten, as news stories appear and the news caravan moves on. The implications of this anomaly remain unnoticed, and the strange fact's potential to lead to great things is apparently unsuspected. History often works in this way. Who could have known that a failed and penniless artist in Vienna could end up starting the Second World War? Who could have predicted that a spoilt 6-year-old rich boy who had continual temper tantrums and pounded the floor screaming insanely that his parents must obey him would end up calling himself Lenin and creating the Soviet Union? Who could have predicted that a New York property developer who likes gold doors and had no political background could become the American president? But what happened in October 2019 was not political. It was far more important than that. What happened was that some astronomers saw something. I happen to have a roving eye for anomalies. I'm always on the lookout for things that don't fit with present scientific understanding. And so in October 2019, I noticed that something anomalous had been observed by 3 Hungarian observational astronomers. Those are people who actually look through optical telescopes, as so many astronomers today rarely do. In fact, what they observed had first been seen by a Polish astronomer named Kazimierz Kordolewski in 1961. Kordolewski is a name that will recur throughout this book, so I'll spell it for you. It starts with a K, Cordy. It looks like Lewski, but it's Levski because the Poles pronounce a W like a V. Kordolewski. Kordolewski claimed to have seen a strange cloud at a particular location in the night sky, and he worked out that there must be 2 of them, another at a corresponding location in relation to the Earth and Moon. So these soon became known as the Kordolewski clouds. However, no one else could see them, and that, everyone presumed, was that. 58 years went by, and then the Hungarian astronomers, to their great joy, observed the same cloud that Kordolewski had seen. Because it is extremely fine and emits no light, it is extremely difficult to see. But they studied it as closely as they could. It was at the exact location that Kordolewski had indicated. This is a cloud between the Earth and the Moon, though not in a direct line of sight. It is very high above the atmosphere of the Earth and several times larger than our planet. I was fortunate to spot the paper that the Hungarians published summarizing their research. I contacted the lead astronomer of the Hungarian team through the website researchgate.net, on which I am listed as she is, and asked whether they had considered any of the plasma aspects of the cloud. The answer was that they were studying the cloud, quote, only from the celestial mechanics point of view, not from the plasma perspective, unquote. Plasma is what this book is about. To put it very simply, plasma is matter that is made of incomplete or partial atoms, known as ions, and the much smaller particles known as protons and electrons. Plasma has sometimes been called the 4th state of matter, after solid, liquid, and gas, but finer even than gas. We call the physical matter that is familiar to us atomic matter because it is made of whole atoms, whereas plasma can also be described as non-atomic or subatomic matter. Plasma is very familiar to us, even though we may not realize it, for the sun is entirely composed of plasma, and the stars are plasma too. Plasma also manifests itself in lightning, including ball lightning and other mysterious phenomena we will examine later. But plasma is otherwise, and for the most part, invisible, and we will be going into that unseen aspect of plasma a great deal as we go along. As someone who keeps a keen eye on what is happening in plasma research, I realized that I must publish something quickly to alert people to the true significance of this cloud, since the Hungarians were not dealing with the plasma aspect. I phoned my friend Professor Chandra Vikramasinghe, that's a Sri Lankan surname beginning with W, but they pronounce it like a V, so it's Vikramasinghe, who, as a retired professor of astrophysics, is an expert on all such things, and told him about the cloud and asked if he would co-author an article for a scientific journal discussing the Kordaleski cloud's importance from the plasma perspective. We then wrote an article together, which was published in the journal Advances in Astrophysics in November 2019. The fact that the Earth-Moon system contains two giant clouds that together are 9 times the size of the Earth means that we might be more accurate in describing it as the two-cloud system, with the Earth and a moon thrown in. These two clouds are made of plasma. This matters because, as I will show, there are good reasons to believe that plasma, with its ordering properties, can in certain circumstances be in some sense alive and can evolve intelligence. Because plasma is made up of charged subatomic particles, it is volatile and displays a tendency to form complex, constantly evolving patterns. This is particularly true of discrete bundles of plasma that we will call plasmoids, such as the Kordaleski clouds. What a plasmoid is will be explained fully later. Though this may surprise or even shock many readers, who may find this implausible on the face of it, I will also show that nearly all scientists in the field believe that the universe is more than 99% made up of plasma, although this too has not yet filtered down to the general reading public. And if the Kordaleski plasma clouds are examples of an inorganic life that has existed for billions of years, they may, as I hope to show, have had a role in forming this planet throughout its long cosmic history. They may even have helped create organic life. Clearly, these ideas taken together open up vast new and very fruitful areas for speculation on the origins of the cosmos and the role of intelligence within it. In fact, I will be arguing that life in its basic state is inorganic and is not made out of atomic matter. I suggest that it is made out of pre-atomic matter, namely the atomic particles, electrons and protons, and ions, plasma. Thus, I am suggesting that we and all living things in the universe, whether organic or inorganic, arise from this plasma, and that the organic state is secondary to our fundamental nature as plasma beings. I believe that we can now start to articulate a new science of heaven. That is what this book is about, and that is what I propose to do. I will also show that as well as being very new, these ideas are also, in another sense, very old. Ancient religions and philosophers in the classical world, including Aristotle, formulated very similar ones. They might not have been able to apply mathematical measurement to assess the levels of complexity necessary for life and intelligence that modern physicists can now apply. But a shift in perspective caused by the new physics of plasma will cause us to reassess many ways of understanding the world previously dismissed as discredited or even cranky. I will not enter into theological discussions, and will confine myself to the new science. With the exception of a very brief historical review in Chapter 6 of some early religious texts that have relevance to our subject. I believe that much of what we have previously called spiritual is really plasma, and that it exists all around us and in us. Many spiritual experiences reported throughout human history are really encounters with plasma phenomena or plasma entities. What does this mean for religions? I believe it leaves them all untouched. My primary purpose is to reconcile the spiritual, in quotes, with the material, in quotes, and thereby to show that the dispute between them is false. There is, in fact, no contradiction between them when one digests the teachings of the new science. Chapter 2.